You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Talk it! Okay.
Come on, you yellows, flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to The Original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes.
Welcome to an in-car podcast.
Yeah, I went to put my seatbelt on, Guy. I don't know what's going to happen.
Two men sitting in a car in Marnham Road.
Yeah, we're just, part three.
We're just underneath the blue plaque to Peter Cook on
aren't
the
we,
pop side.
Aren't we? Yeah.
Parked in Marnham Road. We've just been in the press conference. Might be quite a short podcast this week because...
Yep.
We're well into Thursday afternoon now.
We are well in. It was a late press conference, just due to the fact that their timing of training and Aaron coming to Plainmoor. So
we thought we kind of cut back a little bit on us waffling.
We've got a lot of Aaron.
There's a lot of Aaron. It's a very interesting chat with Aaron as well. I get the feeling he's quite enjoying the forward facing, the front of house stuff.
I mean, he was always in the background there, wasn't he, when we did press conferences, but and often chipped in a bit later on. Mm. But
I get the feeling he's enjoying this.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, it is. So I tell you what, he's got some news, some encouraging news on player injuries.
Yep.
A couple of players who are training, who haven't been for a while.
Yep.
He gives us a bit of a rundown on what happened with Dylan Da Silva.
Yep.
He looks ahead to the Dartford game, Taunton game's a little bit further in the distance. So I tell you what, shall we go?
Let's
and
go.
Listen to Aaron Downes and we'll be back.
I'm strapped in.
We'll be back on the other side of Aaron Downes.
So Aaron, an impressive performance at Weymouth on Saturday. That's two draws in two games now, but I'm sure that you're as eager as anyone to get that next win. And there's an ideal opportunity with those two games at Plainmoor against Dartford and Taunton coming up.
Yeah, great games for us coming up, especially because they're at home. Really looking forward to them, for sure. Happy with certain elements of the performance from Saturday, as we spoke about. But as you say, the results are the most important thing, the 3 points. And that's something that we're all craving and something we've been speaking about all week. So we're trying our hardest to try and implement a couple of things to get us those 3 points and the win. And the performance was pleasing, as I said, in aspects. And we feel there's definitely areas to build on from that. So pleasing that some aspect, but frustrating in others. But really looking forward to two great games. And it's going to be a couple of good atmospheres for us.
Now, obviously, Yellow Army travelled en masse. What a fantastic atmosphere they made. And the one thing that no one can say is that the players aren't giving their all. And they have done all season. But have you had to change very much since you've taken over as interim manager? Or is it just a case of fine-tuning things?
The players have been fantastic the last couple of games. The real... the commitment and their attitude has been spot on, first class, and I can't thank them enough for everything that they've given this football club. They've been brilliant, so I can't praise them highly enough. Fine-tuning a couple of things, as you say, is probably the right word. There's certain elements you want to add into it, but at the same time, I've been here previously as well, so I'm conscious of that. But there's you know, every coach, manager has their own sort of ideas. So I've tried to implement a couple of things, and hopefully we can see one or two of them and they'll come to fruition. And that's the aim anyways. But like I say, I can't praise the players high enough for taking on board the couple of things and trying to put them into action. And I feel we're close. We're really close to a couple of good wins myself. So like I say, just really, really looking forward to the two games coming up. But first of all, we've got to deal with a tough Dartford team.
Now, one player who certainly grabbed the attention on Saturday was Lone Star Arkell Duboyd. Grabbed his first goal for the club. He's gotten close on a number of occasions, but he's really impressed everybody here at Plainmoor, hasn't he?
Yeah, Arkell's a great young man. You know, we're really happy to have him with us, and you know, can't thank QPR enough for the last couple of days dealing with them in certain aspects, and they've been brilliant with us. So really appreciate QPR working with us. But Arkell's been great since he's come in, and gives us a real good versatility, great athleticism, a real nice kid, and a good footballer. And that's the most important thing. And he's, I feel we're just trying to help him really sort of open up and express himself. And obviously, it was great for him to get a goal, and I think he's got one or two more in him. So, still demanding from him, but at the same time, happy with how he's doing.
Another positive from the Weymouth game, and probably for the last couple of games, is that you had a very strong bench. In fact, there were actually, you know, good players that weren't even in the squad.
Yeah, we're really lucky at the minute. We've got everybody basically fit and available, apart from Finn. So Asa and Laps trained this morning, which was great. It was really pleasing to see them back training. And so that gives us, apart from Ross Marshall, who's suspended, that gives us pretty much a full-strength team to select from. And it's something we've not been able to do much this season. So I must praise you know, Regan and Josh. He's understudied, Regan, our physio, and Josh, he's help for all the work they've put in, because it's been a tough season for them. But they've got the players fit at the right time, hopefully, so we can have a real good end to the season. So well done to them guys. And Russell Cleaver, mustn't forget him, because he does help out at time to time as well. So no, it's been a collective effort from the boys behind the team to get the boys fit and raring to go. Niall as well. Don't want to forget Niall. He's got them running, working hard. So so well done, boys. Thank you.
Plenty of people to thank there, and plenty playing their role behind the scenes with everybody's pulling together at the moment. We're looking at these two games very much as, in some ways, as a doubleheader. But first things first, the Dartford game is also going to be Family Day at Plainmoor, kindly sponsored by South Devon College again. It's always a great atmosphere when we have fans all around the ground, isn't it?
We're very blessed to have such a good relationship with South Devon College, and for them sponsoring us in our hour of need, you know, and their sponsorship throughout the season. But now they've come up trumps and sponsored Family Day, which is a great initiative, another great initiative from the club. And it just goes to show that everybody's banding together and really trying to come together to try and make a real positive atmosphere for our home games. So really appreciate that South Devon College were able to sponsor the day. We thank their sponsorship, and it's unbelievable for us to be able to train up there regularly at such a first-class environment. So appreciate that, and really looking forward to Family Day and the initiative the club's put on to get the families through the door, young supporters for the next generation. But also it fills out one end that a lot of people like to see full. Us as players and coaching staff enjoy seeing people there. So if we can get one or two goals behind at that end, there's people behind, they can see it really close and up and close with it. So, yeah, really, really looking forward to Saturday's atmosphere, and again, thankful for South Devon College and the Football Club for putting on a great initiative.
And finally, on Saturday, our opponents, Dartford, they were particularly impressive at their place earlier in the season. Things haven't quite gone to plan, have a change of manager since. What are you expecting from them on Saturday?
Yeah, we kind of got beat up at their place, if I'm honest. That's the kind of team that the previous manager regime sort of wanted, and they sort of everything come together for them and not so for us. And it was a tough lesson for us at this level and what can happen if you're not quite on it. So there's elements we can learn from that. They've had quite a few personnel change, mainly the manager, and then there's a new manager in charge, Eddie Penick. So not quite sure exactly how they'll play and set up, because it's the manager's first game. He's the game got called off on the weekend, so this will be his first game for him. So I'm sure the players will be wanting to impress him and put in an effort. So we've got to make sure we counteract that ourselves, and we've got to be really strong in our commitment, our work rate, our sort of will to win. It's got to be really strong to make sure we counteract that. But I'm sure AD will set them up competitive, that's for sure. They've got one or two bright sparks in their team, which I won't mention, but they've got one or two bright sparks in the team. So we've got to be aware of their threats. But what we've tried to focus on this week is cliche, I know, but focus on ourselves and how we set up and how our structure is and how we're looking to play and how we're looking to hurt them. And if we can put that into play, then hopefully we won't see too much of their strengths, really, and we can have a good afternoon. We can send everybody home on family day happy with 3 points.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Okay. Can I just move my mic a little bit closer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Oh, brilliant. Good stuff. Lovely. Aaron, 2 weeks. 2 weeks today. Things change quite quickly here at Plainmoor. How would you sort of sum up, from your point of view, the last fortnight?
Very contrasting emotions, if I'm honest, because there's a realism to it of the financial situation we're in. But we've gone from, so we've got that underlying issue that sort of is, you know, precarious and uncertain, to then the reaction from the information that people received and the flooding in of support and just general people sending us well wishes and financial people trying to help us financially and whatnot has been really humbling. So the contrast of emotions is really massively different, because on one end you're a little bit concerned of people you love and got hold so, you know, highly in your regard, that their jobs at stake and their livelihoods are at stake, but then you've got such amazing gestures being thrown our way. So it's been turbulent, it's been unsettled, but at the same time, I've really enjoyed aspects of it, I must admit, because, you know, it's so good to see, you know, nearly 4,000 here, and then we might get that again Saturday. So, whereas before it was very volatile environment prior to the announcement 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, it's been contrasting, shall I say.
Don't want to look too far ahead, because obviously you've got a big game here on Saturday, but the 23rd of March, some fans across Devon, Exeter City and Plymouth Argyle supporters, their matches are off because of the international break. They're planning on coming and supporting the club. They're calling it Devon Day. Mm-hmm. It's being sort of dubbed Devon Day. That must be quite... I don't know what word to use about that. How do you sort of feel that there's that sort of unity amongst clubs that would tend to normally be seen as your rivals?
Well, let's get it right. They're going to come here and hope that we lose. but they're coming here for a high reason. They're putting their rivalry aside because they want the rivalry. They don't want a club like Torquay United to cease existence. That's what they don't want. And that is the sign of a massive sign of respect, a sign of unity, as you say, and that sort of, I suppose, understanding of what it means to people is really what it is, because they understand themselves have been through financial issues previous and they know what it's like, and it's very scary, you know, and they don't want that to happen to anybody. So they actually understand. So their human side has sparked a reaction from them that they go, do you know what, let's go and help them out so that in future to come we'll still have that rivalry that we really want, you know. So I'm sure every sort of Exeter or Plymouth fan that's got a sort of element of sort of humanity would want to see the club still survive and move forward, that, you know. So we absolutely appreciate that, because that again will be a really special environment and special atmosphere on Devon Day, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that come through. As you say, we've got one or two things to do before that.
Absolutely.
Three games before that.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots to do before then. You mentioned talking to Dom about the fact that you feel sort of you're fairly close to getting that first win under your belt. What do you think, turning those draws that you've had into victories, what's it going to take?
it's going to take, what we're trying to work this week on is that belief, instilling that belief that we can go and win, because it's been a few games now since we have won. So football does go in habits a little bit. You get used to winning, you get used to not winning. So it's important that we make sure that we try and instill the belief, the confidence, and the freedom, especially in the final third, for them to go and express themselves. So there's no fear of repercussions to a degree. But at the same time, they've got to have an underlying professionalism that we are here to win. And that's the most important thing. They can't go out and just run around willy-nilly and try and enjoy themselves, but at the same time lose 4-0. You know, there's got to be a competitiveness. And that's one thing we've tried to make sure that we've sparked with them this week, and instill a belief in them that, you know, they're good footballers. We're a good side. We've been very unlucky in the last two games to not get that win. So it's just once we get one, we get four. That's my belief. And I think the players think the same thing. So it's getting that first one, and then we'll go on a run.
And it'd be great to do it here at Playmore.
Absolutely. And send, like I say, a lot of families home happy.
Brilliant. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The playoffs are still in your sights. It's still a reachable target.
It's not a not reachable target. Well, it's mathematically possible. Of course it is. You know, and we won't give up on that. And in my mind, we go and get 33 points. You know, so that's sort of how I see it. Now, I'm not putting that pressure on the players. The most important thing for me to focus on in the next sort of, especially the next game, is just go out, play to a certain way we want to do it, keep our structure, keep our sort of theme of what we want to do, and you will win that game. And then we move on to the next one. We move on to the next one. And before you know it, you get that. Because if you said to them, right, you've got to win 8 out of 11 or 9 out of 11, it seems unreachable. But if you go and win 4, then all of a sudden you go, well, hang on, you win 4 out of the next sort of 6. So there's a big task ahead, but if you break it down into smaller aspects, there's achievable goals you can reach. So not setting too much pressure on the players. Let's just go and win the first one and then go from there.
The departure of Dylan De Silva caught a few people by surprise this week. Can you tell us a little bit more about what led up to that?
It was very amicable and straightforward, really. There was no pressure from anybody on me to clear funds, so that must be said. There was no, I wanted to get deals out because I really liked Dylan as a person and as a player. But he'd not been in the squad for a couple of games. And there was the next game coming up, it was not going to be either. There was an opportunity for him to move really close to his home in Wealdstone, where they were sort of quite keen to take him. His ex-QPR coach is the first team coach there, so he's in the coaching setup at Wealdstone. Knew him really well, so it was kind of a sort of mutual thing where I said, well, do you want to do it? He goes, well, if I'm here, Dan, I'm with you, but you know, if there's an opportunity, what do you think? And I said, well, if you want to take that and go move closer to home, it was very amicable and mutual. And he went with our well wishes. And at the same time, we were able to, you know, save a few bit of finance for the football club when they do actually need it. Not that there was any pressure on me. It was me making a common sense decision rather than them going, you've got to get rid, you know, get people off your books. Because that's not what's being said. So it's just me using a little bit of common sense, really, and alleviating a few finances so it can help the club, and at the same time allowing a player to go and play his football where he's not getting regular first team football with us.
I think we laughed about it last week when you still had a couple of players to come back from injury, that, you know, it would have been brilliant to have that squad available all of the season. Now you're going to be having a game where you've literally got one player injured, or one player missing, sorry, Ross, because of a suspension, and you've got the whole squad to play with. So
yeah, we mustn't forget Finn. Crass.
So
two players missing, and so it does give you an opportunity to manage. I.e. Austin last week. Yeah. You know, we were able to manage Austin, and he was touch and go, and he probably could have played. But it does give you that opportunity to go, okay, let's just take a minute and, you know, give you that time. So it gives tough decisions. Don't get me wrong, and you have to upset a few people, but it's trying to manage the squad and keep squad unity, harmony. And I believe we've got that. So then it's down to a few tough decisions for myself to make. But they're the ones you kind of want. You'd rather that than trying to pick from 12 players. So, you know, very lucky in that aspect. And, yeah, just really glad that they're all coming fit at this right time. And we've got to manage a few because there's still a few coming back. Like Stobbsy's first 65 minutes. Kev Dawson's first 90 minutes. So there's still going to be, with a Saturday, Tuesday, and then a lot of games coming up in a short space of time, you know, 11 games in 6 weeks. We've got to make sure that we have that. We're going to need that squad, you know, so managing it is the most important thing.
It's probably the first time you've seen about Austin Booth last week that you've been able to go to a player and say, look, I know you could probably do something this week, but we're going to give you a bit of extra time. And that's probably, you know, missing that during the season.
Absolutely. Just the through sort of 10 to, from match 10 to match 30 is where you kind of need that, those 20 game period. And we were sort of really stretched, really stretched for one reason or another. Whereas now, the last 10, last 11, we've got a squad ready to go. We might lose one or two between now and the end of the season. Hopefully not. But we're able to do what you said, and it's really fortunate to be able to do that. And when they're not, you can really work them. You know, you go, right, you're not playing Saturday, but let's work. Yeah. So they've got that training ground working to them. So they've got the resilience in their body. So when they do come back, they're flying. So... So it's nice to be able to do that. At the same time, gives you a headache on, you know, managing people and making sure that everyone stays with us.
How are you finding that decision making? Because obviously you were a part of the decision making with Gary, I'm sure you talked it through. But how are you finding the final decision yourself?
I'm lucky because I've got a really good relationship with all the players because I've been here with all of them for so long. So I'm finding it. That's not been a massive challenge for me, if I'm honest. And that's not me being arrogant. That's me sort of, I was, as you say, at the coalface with the gaffer. So I'm comfortable in doing that. And I've got a motto and sort of theme to go by that sort of, you know, they understand. And it's me just being honest with them, you know, and absolutely, like, understand. I was them behind the desk 7 years ago, so I do know how they're feeling. I understand, and it's me sort of being empathetic to them, but also being honest, because we've actually got a football club that needs us to win some football matches. So I've got to do what's ultimately right by the football club, but then I've got to make sure I do what's right by the players as well. And all they want is me to be honest with them, me to actually understand what they're going through and try and help them, and that's the most important thing. So that's the angle I'm sort of going with them, and I would do that anyways. You know, I would have done that anyways, and so if I can keep them relatively happy by being honest, that's, I think, all they can ask from me. You know, so that's all I can do.
Good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done, guys.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
No dramas.
He's loving it, isn't he?
He is loving it. You still strapped in, Richard?
I am still strapped in. I'm waiting for the whatever's going to happen that's going to cause me to need my seatbelt. We've got 2 weeks before that, I think.
Yeah. An interesting thing about that press conference then, we were chatting away. James Vickery from the BBC was there. Yep. Dom was asking the questions of Talker United. It was one of those things. I actually sort of caught myself about halfway through thinking, actually, we're still in a very dark place for Talker United, but we're all upbeat. We're all looking forward to the game on Saturday. We're thinking about a big crowd coming in on Saturday. That's football, isn't it? You end up being, you know, upbeat about things, and then you stop and think, hang on a minute.
Well, I mean, it was touched on slightly just now walking out, but we are walking through an office's where people don't know whether they're going to get paid next week. And that's a serious problem. No matter how much people love the football club and the entity itself as a sports club, people's livelihoods are on the line here. And putting the football aside, which is encouraging at the moment, and the fact that they were paid last Thursday gives us another 3 weeks at least before they have to be paid again. Everything seems to be encouraging. There was a
statement just came out.
Yeah.
They've got ten working days.
Yeah.
An extra 10 working days.
So it came out basically 2 weeks after the club was announced that it was likely to be put into administration after Clark pulled the funds.
Just 2 weeks today, isn't it?
So it's 2 weeks today. So they're obviously, the administrators have thought, do we have to go into administration straight away now because mm-hmm. you have 2 weeks to do it? Or do we give it another 2 weeks because things are looking good on potential buyer fronts?
So you
said it to me just now. It's unlikely that the extra 2 weeks would have been granted if no one had shown up with any money.
No, if the club, I mean, I don't know anything about business, Rich, but if the club had been an absolute basket case.
That's David Thomas's favourite line, isn't it? Basket case.
Yeah. If it had been one of those, you feel like the administrators would have stepped in quickly.
They would have appointed their power quicker. It means now that we've got another two, they've got another 2 weeks to do a deal. Them and Clark, I guess, who is obviously involved in selling his own club. You know, whether he wants to sell it for a certain amount and drag back a certain amount of money that he's put in over the years, or whether he wants to go in the end, no, I'm not accepting these deals, and therefore administration is the way. Well, that administration is good for no one, including Clark.
No, that's right. He doesn't stand to gain, or he doesn't stand to get his money back.
No,
but
I understand there's three different sets of people or individuals interested and talking and who have signed the NDAs. I've signed an NDA.
I read your column, so I'm just going to speculate and you're just going to sit there. You can look out the window and watch people go by. Peter Masters has been talked about a lot.
Yeah.
I looked back at some previous cuttings and I couldn't remember the name of the chap who was linked to Port Vale.
Yeah.
And it's a chap called Norman Smurthwaite.
Yeah.
He sold Port Vale in 2019. He was linked to us a long time ago. He's been linked to Notts County, Bury and Wigan.
Mm.
I wonder, and I don't know, and I'm not expecting you to betray my confidences. I've no idea if he's one of the three, but he may well.
Do you ever see that episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
A bit of a cough. Oh, right, okay. A bit of a cough there. And the third one, of course, now I read a story in the Torbay Weekly this week about Sultan Ibrahim Iskander, who is the newly crowned monarch, the King of Malaysia, whose parents met in Torquay.
Did they really?
So he has this tenuous Torquay connection. He's worth £5.7 billion, according to the Torbay Weekly.
Yep.
He has a personal army, a fleet of private jets, and don't mess with him because he trained with US Special Forces.
Right, okay. That's the kind of bloke we need. Shall I
ring him?
Yeah, give him a you got his number?
Probably.
Good.
Jim Parker will have his number.
Jim's got everyone's number. Yeah.
Sultan Ibrahim Iskander of Malaysia.
Okay. Is he a Sultan of Swing?
He'd be a Sultan of anything he likes if he comes and invests in Torquay United.
But, best band name was Sultan, and it is Sultans of Ping.
Sultans of Ping. They were Irish, weren't they?
Yeah, and they did this wonderful song called Where's My Jumper? Dancing in the disco, bumper to bumper. Wait a minute, where's my jumper?
It was the theme music for a brilliant sitcom called Moon Boy.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah,
which is where I first came.
I danced to that in the Parrot Indie Nights quite a lot back in the day.
We digress. I wonder if the fact that Torbay Council is adamant, and funnily enough, I'm doing another podcast tomorrow, which will include some input from the leader of Torbay Council.
Mm-hmm.
Adamant, quite rightly, that Playmore is not for sale.
Yeah.
This ground, this ramshackle ground behind the stone wall that we're sitting alongside. No, it's not ramshackle.
I was going to say.
The stone wall is ramshackle.
Well, it's got patina.
It's mossy, isn't it?
It's patina.
Well, yeah, let me paint the picture a bit more vividly, Richard. We're journalists. We're supposed to exaggerate. But I wonder if the fact that Playmore is very much not for sale would be a stumbling block for any future owner.
I just noticed there's palm trees within the grounds of
there are.
Within the grounds of Torquay United, there are palm trees.
I'd never noticed that before.
No.
But I wonder if that would be a stumbling block. If you're coming in to buy and somebody says, look, by the way, you've got it on a very long lease, very long lease, but there's no way you're
It's like 90 years left on the lease, isn't it?
It's a long, long time.
I think with that lease, I don't think that would be... Unless, of course, you come in because you want to build a brand new stadium. Heaven forbid who would do that.
Quite.
Um, you know, I don't think that's a problem because I think the lease is long enough. And if you want to come in because you love football and it's going to be a joy running a football club, you're probably mad.
Yeah.
But the lease being 90 years or whatever is not going to be a problem.
Talk about football,
yeah,
instead of about business. The Weymouth game, great goal by Arkell Jude Boyd.
Well,
a lung-busting run, I believe you described it.
I did, and I'm afraid I'm gonna. That was on. I think it might have been some. I think it was Aaron's words.
I watched the highlights, and he certainly comes pelting in from a long way.
I used lung-busting after hearing Aaron describe it as such, so it's not my words. But honestly. I listened to it on the radio, guys, so I wasn't there. But when you watch the video, he comes from about halfway line. Honestly, I don't know how he got in between. I mean, I'm looking at it knowing that he scores the goal, thinking, well, how's he going to get there?
But he does.
He gets right in between the two defenders and just gets his foot to the to Jack Stubbs' cross.
And in front of 650-ish travelling Torquay fans.
Which generated another three and a half grand or whatever it was for the club.
Very generous gesture by Weymouth.
Yep. They probably got a bit more money out of it themselves as well. Yeah, so, why
right
not?
Too. Everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a business model for the future.
Maybe.
Some struggling clubs.
Yeah.
But we concede it's a 1-1 draw and we still have only one win in 14 games since your birthday.
I think a couple of players are still a bit rusty. And the further we get away from them coming back from their injuries, the better they're going to get. And I'm expecting us to win two games now.
Well, I've written six.
I mean, I've written
6-pointer.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to get 6 points.
Yeah.
From these two games coming up. We not only have to
beat Dartford. If we can't beat Taunton, then, without Aaron out. Let me be the first to say it.
You'll be the last to say it as well. Dartford, I mean, I was at the Dartford game on November 25th. I thought this was our darkest hour, but it turned out only to be our darkest hour till the next one.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron said, didn't he, that they were bullied. And
they beat us up.
They did that well. It wasn't as if they just were. They were just more physical, and they beat us up. They beat us up is what he said, wasn't it? Yeah.
They beat us 3-0, but we then went on a run of 5 wins.
Indeed.
And that's the point where our terrible run of 14 games started.
Yeah.
So I mean, Dartford wasn't a turning point.
No, it wasn't. We got back up to second after Dartford.
I think it was. I think Dartford was a turning point in the relationship between the fans and Gary Johnson,
right?
Because it was very, very unpleasant at Dartford. Mm. Fans confronting management, etc., etc. I think maybe that was one of the turning points in that sense. But there we go. Dartford are 19th. They've got Moussa Diarra, who managed to score against us. The venerable Moussa Diarra, who scored against us up there. They're a decent team. They're way down the bottom of the league, but they're tough and they're resilient and they'll take some breaking down unless we can get a couple of goals in the first 10 minutes, which is dreamland.
Dreamland, yeah.
And then Taunton on Tuesday. Taunton are 21st. They had a statement. Well, they had another game postponed on Tuesday against Slough.
They haven't played. No one's played at their home ground. Well, they had that one game at Gloucester against Truro, and they lost that 2-0.
Didn't Truro play there? Have Truro played a game?
No, Truro's not played a game there yet. No one's played a game there since February the 3rd or whatever it is.
There's a statement on their website. Staff have not been paid.
The first game that was played there, the last game that was played there was Taunton versus Truro. Before the announcement of Truro going there.
I see it, really.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? They've got no income at the moment from the ground. Staff have not been paid. Players are just getting a percentage of their wages. HMRC may wind them up. I believe they're under another transfer embargo.
Dark times, yeah.
Very, very dark times. I mean, we're having dark times. Truro, if anything, are having darker.
Yeah.
It'll be Tuesday. It'll be a match-up between two clubs who are seeing the dark side of football, aren't they?
Yeah,
It's all very well. We bang on about this for ages, but, it's all very well seeing Manchester City banging the goals in and going through to Europe and spending
huge lots of cash. How many charges have they got hanging over them?
I know.
Over 100?
And then, for the sake of a few quid in Premier League terms, we're staring down the barrel. But yeah. There we go. So, yeah, two big games. The only other thing I wanted to mention in this slightly truncated podcast, because we want to get this out to you on Thursday afternoon, what a great move for Dylan De Silva.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was explained by Aaron, wasn't it? But yeah, I mean, he's
very amicable.
Can't get into R16 for a couple of matches, and suddenly he's playing for Wealdstone
in the National League.
Yeah,
he's obviously he's from that part of London. He's from Northwest London. He wants to get back. And live
one of his old
family.
Coaches at QPR is on the coaching team there.
I just think that's a great move for him.
That's obviously where that's come from.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I like Dylan. He's a nice guy to chat to. I think he gave us something as a player. You weren't 100% convinced.
I mean, my biggest memory of him is that goal against... Oh, I can't remember what it was against, where he cut him from the second half.
Cut him from the right.
Right at the start of the second half, cut him from the right and scored with his left. Great goal. Obviously, got something.
Yeah.
We did not see it enough.
We didn't see enough of that. Yeah. I would like to have seen more of him, but that's not going to happen now. So, you know, great move for Dylan. Yeah. Good luck to Dylan. Don't come back and haunt us, Dylan.
No,
when we're back in the same
league.
And at the same time, Callum Thomas has gone on loan. He's gone to
Lee Robinson this week, their manager for the Mid Devon Gazette, which I also do. He's quite excited about Callum. He rates him, and I rate him as well. So yeah, they're quite happy that they've got him, because they've got a little bit of a defensive crisis happening. So, not crisis, got a shorter number of defenders, and he was happy to get Callum.
He's a good player.
I don't think a major falling out between Torquay United and Tiverton Town, but a lot of players used to go on loan to Tiverton Town, and then there was a moment when there was a disagreement about a player, and that all dried up. So it's good to see that relationship working again. I mean, Gary's gone. Gary and Martin Rogers was the manager there. He's gone, and Lee Robinson's the new manager. So it's new people talking.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good. Good to see that we've got an out for young players to go and play Southern League football.
Good stuff. Just 11 games left, Rich.
I know.
By the time we podcast again, 9 games left. They cut another 2 over the Easter weekend.
Yep.
The games tumble down quickly now, don't they?
They do. It's scary, isn't it?
If we're going to sneak into that 7th place...
It's looking a bit tight at the moment, isn't it? We do need 6 points. And then even then, you know, it's going to be another 6 points even before we can think about really getting... Because, you know, although I think it's 9 points away, are we now, from the playoffs... There's enough teams in between us that can still win. That, you know, just because you win those, make up those 9 points, doesn't mean anyone else drops any.
That's very true. But we start with 2 home games in front of what should be big crowds.
Yep.
Family day on Saturday. It will just make things feel an awful lot better.
Yeah.
There we go. Right, we're going to let you off because we need to get the podcast published.
Yeah, I've got to hightail it home.
Hightail it home, get editing, put a little bit of music on at the start.
Yeah, do all that business.
And we'll be back with you next week. But we'll finish. You can hear us from inside the ground from where we are now.
Come on, you yellows! That sounded like Brett Mayer over the tannoy.
You did.
Come on, you yellows! Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellow.